I want to share a verse with you. God told me to share with you this morning. Revelation 3:3. Remember how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. What we've been going through lately, God is speaking to all of us. I don't care how long you've been saved, how much you've grown, God is speaking. But we have to determine to hear. We can't come in saying, I've heard that before. I don't need to hear that again. I'm tired of hearing that. We have to have an ear to hear. The Spirit is speaking, but only he who has an ear will hear it. If we have an ear, if we have set our ears and determined in our heart, I want to hear what God is speaking right now. It's always brought by a human, and there's always humanity in the human, and there's offensive things, and there's fleshly things that we say when we bring the word. But you have to predetermine, I'm just going to forgive any offense. I'm just going to be determined. I want to hear from God, and I'm going to receive it. Then remember, when you leave here, remember what you received. Remember what you heard. That's to hold fast. Hold on to it. Take it home. Own it. Make it part of your life. And repent. We're in a deep repentance here. So set your ear to hear. Be one that will hear what God is saying to the churches today.
Anybody have a testimony? Anybody have testimony they wanted to give? Yes, ma'am.
She's got it. Go ahead.
It's just a quick one. Y'all saw me up here last week, and it was bad, but it got better. It got way better. I mean, I won't say I didn't have any anger, but there wasn't the pain this week. And in fact, well, I can't even find my Bible, so I think that was like Satan trying to keep me from reading it, but I just still kept with God all week and just kept praying to him and talking to him, and he even brought healing to a really bad memory with my mom from my childhood, and I could tell that it was God because it was really gentle. It was mm-hmm. really soft, and it came when I couldn't get hurt to go through
right.
it. So I did get a little angry yesterday, but for the most part, like, I've even noticed a difference in Ellie and Eric because they're in really happy spirits now.
Yeah.
That. And Tanner and I met on Monday night, and we helped release whatever could come back on Eric or Ellie,
mm-hmm.
and that's been working.
Awesome. You'd almost think God could handle anything. You'd almost think that. Amazing. Yeah? Yes, babe. Yes, babe. The other one doesn't work.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Use this.
Well, another thing God gave me this morning, I don't like it as well, is God being seen is more important than me being hidden. So it's not always easy, because when you really get repentance and you really see how ugly something is, you don't really want to show it to everybody, you know, but he wants us to. So what God had been working on me and is insecurity, and he's been working on that for years in a real nice way, like he keeps telling me really nice things, you know, like bringing confidence and love and who I really am in him. And I thought, well, insecurity is a nice thing to have to repent of because God just keeps making you feel better. But this week he took it the other way. And he said, insecurity is a seed that all kinds of evil roots come out from. Because if you're insecure, jealousy comes along with it because you're afraid to let somebody that you love someone else because they might love them more than you. Insecurity brings jealousy. It brings fear. You live in a fear of losing people that you need. You have a fear of not being respected or accepted or needed. a fear of what other people are thinking about you. You have a need to find out if you're worth anything, and that need can drive you. There's judgment, because judgment desires to criticize and find the fault in everyone else so that they're not better than you, to bring them back down to your level. Control, trying to hang on to relationships. Anger, rejection, fear of rejection. Selfishness. It's really funny, I never thought about insecurity being so selfish, but one time I had to go into a room full of strangers, and I kept thinking, what are they going to think of me? I'm afraid of them. I don't know if they love me. I don't know if they accept me. And God said, that's just selfishness. Don't walk in a room wondering what everybody thinks of you. Walk in there thinking about them. So insecurity is very self-focused all the time. And then it's proud. It wants to hide everything that you're not secure in and not let others find out. So this week, I took insecurity through the 19 points, and it's just amazing how deep God would go with that and really expose the ugliness of it, you know, that in itself it's a seed, but all those roots and things that come out of it are very evil. So that's where my 19 points went this week.
Anybody else have a testimony?
Well, anyhow, this is kind of a confession of, I need to be a little transparent here. About a month ago, I gave somebody a brake test. Nate knows what a brake test is. Anyhow, the Lord returned the favor Saturday, and I wasn't pressuring the guy or anything. And anyhow, he slammed his brakes on in front of me and gave me some sign language. And I was like, Lord, what was that for? You know, and he's like, well, you know, if you're going to drive like that, I want you to take the Jesus sticker off the back of your car. Okay, so anyhow, I just, you know, I need to say that, man, the harder, the more trouble we cause makes it harder for unbelievers to see the Lord in us, okay? And anyhow, it just, you know, the things we're not willing to die to, he's going to keep them there. And, you know, if we're willing to lose our life and die for the things that we're trying to hang on to, pride and all the fun stuff like that, you know, we just, and always being out front, then we have to die to it. Because if we don't, it's going to be a reoccurring, we get to take that test over and over, okay? So just know that, you know, he's just looking for us to die to this stuff, because there's strength in our death, okay? In our weakness, he is strong. And, you know, if you're willing to give your life, you'll gain it. And that's really where we need to get. So it was a big lesson for me. He was revealing my sin this week. So all I can say is just, yeah, start looking deep. And seeing, you know, what am I doing to offend those that he's trying to bring. So it's big. And yesterday, that's the end of that. But yesterday I was giving away my Bibles. And first thing, 7 o'clock in the morning, this woman comes hobbling up. And she's like, my knee's hurting me. I can barely walk. I'm going in for surgery, a knee replacement. Would you pray for me? And I'm like, well, we'll sit down. We'll see what the Lord's got for you. And I just laid hands on her knee and prayed quickly. You know, Lord, we need kingdom right here, right now. And just prayed a quick prayer. And she got up, and, you know, I asked her how her leg was doing. She's like, there's no pain. And I said, well, you just keep thanking the Lord for that. And she walked around the market, the farmer's market, and came back and said, my knee's still fine. So I just said, well, you just keep thanking him and just keep walking. And she was pretty happy. I was too, though. It was amazing. So anyhow, I had an interesting week.
I just had a realization a few minutes ago, maybe not even that many. One of the more prominent spirits that have been putting me, keeping me in bondage, which I gave consent to, was Well, let me go back. I have a long list. This came out of a confrontation at the men's meeting, which many of you are aware of, about the sin that has been in my life that's pretty obvious to everyone but me. Until, well, God's been working along the way, but there was a confrontation at men's meeting Wednesday, and out of that, I can't even tell whether it was because of Tom feeling self-pity or because spirits were trying to beat me up, but after that meeting, I felt as though I'd been physically beaten up in my emotions and spiritually. God worked it out that I would have a work day that was short on Friday, and out of a meeting that I came here and talked with Pastor Harvey a good portion of the day, we made a list. At the men's meeting, I had mentioned neglect, apathy, haste, laziness, but then Pastor Harvey and I, on Friday, continued the list: pride, blindness, self-focus, anger, confusion, stubbornness, control, fear, accusation, judgment, condemnation, self-righteousness, procrastination. And this morning, I don't even know how to talk about this except I'll just name it and let it sit there and let God tell you if Antichrist. This morning when Pastor Sue was talking, denial, insecurity, jealousy, and the one that just clicked a moment ago, hiding. None of you have probably seen all of those in me, and yet many of you probably have. And the point being, I was hiding quietly behind a calm demeanor, and because of a spirit of blindness, wasn't even aware of my own stuff. God is starting to break through, and these 19 points, the scriptures related to them, they are life-giving. It will not happen until and or unless you go before the Lord, publicly or privately. It doesn't really matter how you start. But go before the Lord. Am I willing to see my sin? God, will you reveal what you see? And go through all of them. Each sin one at a time. It doesn't have to take a long time with each thing, but it has to be from the heart. Just going through a list is just going to go through a list. It's not going to help anything, but when the scripture says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's truth. That is life-giving. But until I make that my own, I can't live it. I can't get the deliverance. But I just encourage you to take this to heart, take it seriously. God is going to bring deliverance, but we have to agree, we have to cooperate. Because we've been agreeing and cooperating with all these evil spirits for many years, and I'm done with it. God's going to get His glory. And
sorry. So I got up for a couple of weeks and was talking about how God's been after anger, and things have been going so much better, and such a crybaby. And then Dudley broke his finger, and my dog died, and I feel like I live in a country song. And, you know, like, I was sitting there thinking that. Like, the day that Blizzard got hit, I was, like, sitting there, and I'm like, my husband's, like, out of work, and broken finger, and my dog got killed, and I just was like, I feel like I'm literally living this stupid country song that I hate, you know? And, anyways, I've enjoyed having him home, but we've been back and forth to doctors and hospitals and just everything being different, you know, with with him home, like the whole routine is different, and I'm afraid of like hitting his hand at night, so I'm not sleeping good because I'm afraid to move, and so I've just, my days have been more hectic, and I haven't been like thinking the 19 steps and thinking the verses and praying Psalm 139, 23, and 24 every morning. I had been doing it while I put makeup on, you know. That gives me plenty of time to like let God talk to me. Thanks. Just take a drink of your water. But I just, my mind was elsewhere. I was focused on him or on just whatever, everything being different. And so I kind of got out of that habit every day. And then Thursday night, I was like giving my kids a bath. And Tempe wanted the bubbles on, the jets in the tub. So I was like, no, I'm scared of them. And I thought, well, that's a silly fear. So how about if I turn them on and I'm right here and you'll be okay? And she panicked like there was a shark in the water and started screaming top of her lungs. So Tempe jumped up out of the water and starts running in circles screaming in panic. And Hudson just sat there staring like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I was trying to calm them down and they wouldn't calm. And rage just like took over and I was screaming at them to stop screaming. And I covered Sahara's mouth and I'm like, stop screaming! As I scream in anger. And everybody just froze and like stared at me. And it was like, I realized that I was like just letting anger, you know, attack my kids. And I walked out of the bathroom and I just stood there and was like, I only want Jesus living in me, and the who's living in me is Satan, you know? And I was just like beating myself up and really upset and trying to like pray through it, but it's like I couldn't get out of it. And then, so I went to bed that night, and all day the next day I just was ornery, and everything irritated me and frustrated me, and I kept just saying what a crappy mom I was, you know, and that it didn't matter. I wasn't going to get out of this. It was just, I'm like ruining my kids, you know, and it was just like overwhelming, like feeling like I just can't get out of this, and why do I do this to my kids over and over and over? And then I actually got up early Friday morning after I nursed Remy and took a shower and had the thought I could read my Bible before anybody got out of bed. So actually, I guess that was yesterday morning, right? Yesterday. And I was asking God, like, why is it that I was so angry at my kids for being afraid? I've been angry at them being afraid of things that I don't understand them being afraid of. Like, I'm trying to speak reasonably to them, and they're just panicked, you know? And it was like, anger was, like, we had to go deeper to get rid of the anger, because it was beyond that. It was actually like based in insecurity and fear and control, like wanting to keep control and make things be reasonable, because when I was little, like, it wasn't reasonable to be afraid. It wasn't reasonable to cry. It wasn't reasonable. So, like, I, like, came against all of that, saying it's not reasonable, so if you do this, I'm going to get angry. Because you shouldn't do this, you know? And so, like, I went through, yesterday morning, I was able to go through, like, break agreement with saying I was a really crummy mom, and that was just an attack, and, like, God was, like, showing me it was deeper. So I was able to walk through the 19 steps with, insecurity and jealousy and control and just all of that. Like, we've had my stepsons this week until Friday. We had them all week. And just everything that came up, it was like I found myself comparing how things get handled with them versus how things get handled with the ones that live with us. And or they would mention their mom, and it was like, who cares, you know? Like, just all this jealousy and insecurity, all those things, it was like God was showing me that insecurity was like my base thing that I was dealing from and operating from. And I just felt like I was supposed to share that, because, like, when I was sharing, like, about anger before, it was, like, feeling like I had a real handle on it, you know, and that I'm right in the midst of it, and it's way deeper than I even thought it was or realized that it was. And but God's, like, going after the deeper stuff, and that's really awesome, too. And
I only want Jesus living in me.
Just wanted to add something. I spoke of haste, neglect, laziness, and apathy, and Pastor Harvey came up with a really appropriate word picture, because he was seeing things like pride and self-focus and judgment and other things that he looked at as being bigger. Well, he looks at those four that I named first, haste, neglect, laziness, and apathy, as like a cork in a bottle. You're seeing pride and all these other bigger ones through the bottle, but the cork is what was causing me to keep in the things that everybody else can see very readily. But the point being, God will give you, but you have to ask. You have to be willing. I have to be willing to own my sin. I need to be able to look at it and become accountable. Because one of the things that came out of the men's meeting Wednesday was accountability partners. And I believe the Lord showed me who I was supposed to ask to be the accountability partners. They prayed and all of them said, yes, I'll be your accountability partner. Every one of us needs someone. Generally, it's going to be a man to a man, a woman to a woman. You're going to be ask the Lord to show you who in your life is able and willing to be your accountability partner. Because we need to love each other enough to be able to be vulnerable and to be able to confront each other about it. And it's the start to deliverance. It's among the steps. Taking all of those steps, it's also very important to be able to ask and be asked the hard questions. Did you go through your 18 steps today? Have you read all of those scriptures today? Have you read your Bible today? Are you thinking evil thoughts today? Did you shout at your wife today? Anything that might appropriately apply to your situation.
Here's another one. Are you lying to me while I'm talking to you?
That's another one.
So I heard from what's that called? Men. I don't know, some kind of national men's thing. I forgot what it's called, but anyway, they'd have big meetings where men would go, promise keepers, and out of that they came up with these seven questions that men ask men. You know, have you put yourself in compromising situations with people of the opposite sex? Did you read your Bible? Blah, blah, blah. And the last question was, have you lied to me while answering these questions? I just thought that was, you know, pretty appropriate. You know, it's like, because I remember when I got saved, the preacher that I was talking to, he said, tell me about your life. Well, I told him I had smoked dope. I didn't tell him I was a drug dealer and had $1,000 worth in my pocket. See, we want to kind of minimize our sin. We only want to tell people a little bit. We don't want to tell people the whole truth, you know? Well, do you really want to get delivered? Do you really want freedom?
Yes. I do. I'm excited. I want freedom.
Do you really want to get free?
Yes.
To the extent you're willing to get honest, to that extent you get free. That's what's cool. Okay? That's why public confession, public power. Okay? I'm enjoying these testimonies. I didn't mean to cut yours short. Anybody else?
Yes, I am also... Okay. I am also been dealing with insecurities my whole life, and I don't know how to hold this mic.
Honestly, yeah.
I am honest. And I didn't really realize that till last Sunday, and I was talking to, and something came out I thought that had been dealt with a long time ago, and it was still there, so I said, I guess it's still there. And God has been working on me all week with us, and it was in line with everything that I was reading, and these steps, these 19 steps, and so a lot of stuff was brought to my attention and got out in the open. I recognized it. I owned it. And I gave it to Jesus. And he delivered me from some things. There's still some things he's still working on in me. But he will deliver me from all these things, too. I love you guys.
Amen. Love you, too. Anybody else? Anybody else? Right over here you can, yes. We're going to kick pride right in the teeth. What about it? No more pride. We're just going to kick it in the teeth. We're going to stand up in front of God and everybody. Love you.
Glenn is going on a trip in a couple of days. round. I hope. But we've been praying about this, that an opportunity came up where he could ride with Cheryl and Steve to Williamsport, and that's where Glenn's son lives. Right. Thank you. And so we've been praying about it, and Glenn made a couple phone calls to his son, and he wasn't calling back, so we thought maybe that just wasn't supposed to be. And we had talked about it, and he said, well, I don't think I'm going to go. And I said, well, if it happens and it's smooth, it's going to be God. And so we kind of just let it lay. And on Thursday, his son called, and he said he had such excitement in his belly that he couldn't hardly stand it. So he come home and told me, and he said, guess who called me? And they don't keep very good communication. It's been 5 years since he's seen his son. And before that, it had been like 18 years. So the relationship is, they're trying to make it work, but because of the distance, it's really hard. And so the last time Glenn was in Pennsylvania is when his sister died, and that's when he saw Glenn. And so the communication from then till now has been just not very good. And so when we gave it to God and we just said, you know, if it's supposed to be, Lord, let it be your will. And so then when he called on Thursday, I'm like, yes, this is what needed to happen. Thank you, Jesus. And he had the excitement, and he's thinking, well, I shouldn't go. I'm going on this bear hunt in September, and this would just be another week away from me. And I'm like, you know what? You need to have a relationship with your son. And we've been in church for 5-6 years now, and we've grown a lot and realized that relationship is very important, and especially when it's a dad and son. So he's going to go, and the Lord just worked it all out. And I just wanted to share with you, that's our testimony. God worked in it every bit of the way. And now he's going to be able to go and just relax, and he'll need that from the, you know, construction. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. That so pray for him while he's gone.
What I'm hearing is testimony. It's like you're finding out that God's real. Amen. You're finding out that God can like handle anything you give to him. You know, sometimes I go to pray for some of you, and I just go, Lord, I don't know what to pray. And he's like, just give them to me. And so I go like, here's Dave Kinnamore, for example. Here's Dave, Lord. And he's like, I got him. And he's like, Just leave it with me. I could handle this, Arv. And I'm like, okay. And before I thought I had to pray all the things, you know, as if I was putting in all the ingredients so God would know what to do. He's kind of helped me to understand that He's got it covered without me, you know. He's like, just hand them to me. So it's just neat. Sometimes if you ever see me up there and I'm sitting in my chair and I'm going like this, it's just because I'm handing y'all to Jesus, you know. It's just so easy.